Well, the rest of the country outside of Auckland will be feeling some relief about getting back to a more normal way of life tomorrow. Aucklanders are nowhere near that. We've been in lockdown level 4 for 3 weeks now, and we won't get any notification about a change in levels until Monday, September 13th. Everything, of course, is dependent on COVID numbers in the community, and there are 21 new community cases reported today, all in Auckland. We got some great texts yesterday after the announcement regarding a shift in levels. Roland, who signs off as a loyal Northlander, says, "Hi, when we drive through Auckland, we always hold our breath." and this, which was most welcome, "Please give a shout out to all the wonderful Aucklanders who once again are carrying the load for us all. You may be surprised to know how many of us down here in Te Waipounamu, or the South Island, are thinking of you all. Aroha nui." Well, Dr. Saab Jahal has been tweeting for the benefit of Aucklanders. He says, "We know that there's a complex situation in New Zealand, meaning that most regions will experience greater freedom of movement than Auckland for a while to come." And then he gives us some tips on getting through, and he's with us now. Kia ora, Saab.
Kia ora, Karen. Kia ora, panel.
So you're in Auckland, so yes, please, give us some tips.
I'm actually not in Auckland. I'm actually in Wellington.
Oh, so are you? Tweeting. Okay.
Yeah. So I've been tweeting from here because, you know, it's not that long ago that we were all in alert level 4, and we all did this together in alert level 4, 18 months ago now. So the thing that's different this time is that we don't have the novelty. Last time around, you know, this time in 2020, 18 months ago, we were all going through this for the first time. So there was a mystery, there was fear, but there was also a sense of togetherness. And the risk is that we're splitting apart a little bit here for a short period of time, hopefully. But everything's on a compressed timescale. So we feel fatigued, frustrated, and wishing it was over, perhaps in a much more compressed timescale than we did last time.
Okay, so what should we do in Auckland? Just, hold our nerve as we were advised?
I think, that's one thing. That's the goal that we want to achieve. But how we get there, there's a few things that we can do. The first thing is not to obsess over the endless pandemic coverage, you know, including this, actually. Because the danger is that we can entrench a kind of a sense of unfairness that's actually quite far removed from the reality. And the reality is that we need to keep up our behaviours according to when and where the risk is greatest. And at the moment, the lived reality, whether we like it or not, is that risk is greatest in the Auckland region. So if it's difficult for you to hear that quite a lot, then limiting your media consumption, checking in twice a day just to figure out what's happening most recently, just that you need to know about. The other thing to think about is that our brains are really good at finding the negative and really sticking with that, whereas the positive tends to slide off like Teflon. And we tend to, if we're not careful, ruminate over the things that are troubling us, that we're frustrated with, and we can get into a little bit of a cycle. So what I've been recommending is that people keep a good track of their wins. So when a difficult situation is dragging on for a bit, keeping a win log and updating it daily, you know, when you have a moment of happiness, when you have a good time with your kids, or you have a good conversation with a friend over the phone or on the internet, write those down. Every little thing that you do that is an achievement, finding those things to do, stimulating that sense of flow or absorption where time seems to pass and you're having a good time just doing whatever it is that you are doing. All of these things add up, and we have to hold on to those because our brains are kind of trained to let go of those really quickly and find the next problem to ruminate on.
We get so stuck, you know, as in, I think I'll watch Netflix all day, or I won't go outside, or, you know, what happens? What's the mindset about that?
Yeah, if we're not careful, we can slip into habits that then start to affect our basic rhythms of how we live our lives. So it's fine to, you know, if that's what we need to do, that's what we need to do. But I would argue that there are some sort of like tent poles that we don't want to shift too much, like when we go to bed or when it is that we choose to wake up in the morning. It's fine if that slips for a day or two, but we want to keep an eye on making sure that we keep our routines as much as possible. And then that helps to stop that sense of lethargy and demotivation from starting to stick around for too long. And keeping your routines then, although it looks a bit different perhaps to outside of alert levels, four and three, it'll make it easier for you to adjust when we get back down to level two or level one throughout the country together.
So many Aucklanders are wary about going to supermarkets. It's not entirely rational, of course, but there's an added sort of component to life.
Yeah, and that's understandable. You know, COVID is around, although we feel like the risk is falling right now. But it's good to make sure that you're taking all the protective behaviour that you can when you are going out. And that includes, you know, all the things we know about staying 2 metres distant, wearing your mask, washing your hands. But the most important thing that we can do, all of us together, whether we're in Auckland or not, is the behaviour that will change the options that we have in a few months' time is booking a vaccination and getting that done. And then that's something that we can all do together to reduce that risk of finding ourselves back in this position again.
I mean also because of Friday's attack.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, we don't have any evidence that there's any kind of ongoing threat after that terrible event on Friday. But yeah, it's absolutely understandable that people are feeling a little bit jumpy. I would just be careful about what you're exposing yourself to again. You know, there's quite a lot of misinformation and, you know, malicious disinformation, just as Kate was talking about earlier on. But this time the topic is, you know, these terror attacks and what it is that perhaps people want to achieve by spreading that kind of information. So just be careful about exposing yourself and increasing your anxiety even more than it needs to be.
What's your number one tip for keeping sane during lockdown, Nuwanthi?
It's been exercise, actually, just focusing on something to do and get out and do something as well, leaving the house. But totally hear what you're saying, Dr. Saab, around the psychology as humans. I guess we just focus on what we're not great at and what's not working around us. And so, my number one tip really has been just focusing on doing some exercise and getting out and doing things.
You're a runner, aren't you?
I am.
A big time runner.
And still have, you know, yeah.
Raybon?
And I've got a rescue dog as well, Karen, sorry. So that's been busy walking him heaps and running with him heaps and doing things as well, which I didn't have a pet this time last year. So, yeah.
That's great. The two go side by side. And what about you, Raybon?
Exercise-wise, I'm probably more of a pedestrian than a runner. But, you know, that's what the research says, is it's meant to be the best thing for your mental, you know, whatever, your morale. But it's certainly, like, I remember, and I don't know if anyone in Auckland wants to hear this, but it makes such a difference to have to know when something is coming to an end. And so maybe other parts of the country dropping in levels is a light of the tunnel for people in Auckland, maybe. But
Molly says in Auckland it's harder to take advice from those going into level two. Sorry, but that's just a lived reality at present. Can understand that. Thank you very much, Saab, and I hope you enjoy some more freedoms from tomorrow.
Oh, you know, we'll be talking about our kids getting ready to get back into level two and kindy and school, which is its own challenges. I'm sure that everybody, and I have sympathy for all the parents around the country who are going to be undertaking that in the next couple of days.
Indeed. Thank you very much. That's Dr. Saab Jahal, a clinical psychologist. It's 16 minutes to 5 on the panel. And with the ease of restrictions outside of Auckland, is live music on the cards again? There are restrictions on indoor gatherings under the revised alert level 2, with a major one being a limit of 50 people. And to talk more about this, I'm joined by Rahane O'Reilly, who's the owner of Meow, which is a venue in Wellington. Kia ora, Rahane.
Hi.
How are you feeling about the move to level 2? What does it mean for you as a venue?
It was a bit of a surprise. I wasn't expecting it. And changing to 50 people, I'm going to do a couple of shows, but it's not that different to level 3 for us, really.
So are you getting much interest from musicians about booking new shows?
There's been a couple of people, but it's quite hard for musicians to make any money only being able to sell 50 tickets.
Yeah, and a bit of merch maybe, or maybe not.
Well, there's not as big an audience, so
Is it worth musicians and both musicians and venues putting on a gig with a limit of 50?
Probably not financially, really, but there's sort of more to music as well than just making money.
Yes.
People coming together is a good thing.
In fact, there's not a heck of a lot of money to be made generally, is there?
No.
And so do you think that there's obviously a bit of hesitation about planning tours? Maybe people are waiting for more certainty or waiting for Auckland to open up first?
Yeah, both of those things. For us, we've stopped taking new bookings because I've got so many shows to reschedule, and we also don't know how far ahead we're having to reschedule things. So we're in a very grey area for people at the moment.
Will you open this week at all? Like Friday night or whatever?
I've got a show on Saturday, which they want to do, which will be 50 people, and we'll see how it goes.
Who's playing?
Oh, I can't remember. I should have looked this up. Sorry.
No, that's okay. No worries.
The Rolling Stones.
Yes.
But it's not the Rolling Stones.
Speaking to Rahine O'Reilly, who's the owner of Meow. Raybon, you're in Wellington. You're hoping to be able to get to some live shows soon? Maybe you might do a comedy gig.
I'm still a little bit unclear on the rules. But like, I'm wondering if... So when they say 50 indoors, does that include the staff? You know, the bartenders and people? It's difficult.
Apparently
not. And I guess. Right. Okay. So.
Yeah, apparently not. Mm.
The other thing with comedy in particular, I mean, obviously anything where you're zapping around, it takes quite a bit of lead time to get the word out. And then there's that whole thing where things are hanging in the air a bit. And I don't just mean aerosols, but comedy in particular is almost designed for people to super spread because you're encouraging them to exhale, you know, with gusto for quite a long time in that shared space. So all of that is difficult.
Rahine, do you know, like, if you with this band or artist that you've got on Saturday, they won't have to wear masks, will they, or not?
No.
Short answer?
I mean, I don't know how they could do it wearing masks.
Yeah, so they'll be on stage without a mask and, others will be wearing masks.
Yes. I mean, you are allowed to take your mask off for
drinking.
Eating and drinking, but all the staff have to wear masks.
Well, good luck with it and thank you very much for joining us. Hope the show goes well.
Thank you very much.
That's Rahine O'Reilly, the owner of Meow, which is in Wellington. And it's now 12 minutes to 5. And a popular slide at Frank Kitts Park on the Wellington waterfront will be dismantled this week due to safety concerns after multiple injuries with children, unfortunately. Three children under the age of 5 broke their leg using this large slide in the past 5 months. And in all, at least 8 children have suffered the same fate. Well, earlier this afternoon, I spoke to Matthew Berris, the Wellington City Council Play Spaces Specialist. Kia ora, Matt.
Hi, Karen.
This slide, how long has it been around for?
From what I can work out, it was installed in 1989.
But not a good design.
No, I would dispute that to some degree. I guess the slide, given how long it's been there for, had certain features that were engineered into it, mainly to do with how a child gets up to it. So essentially there's a couple of ladders to get up to the very top, and if you're not comfortable or able to do that, then you're probably not able to use the slide confidently. But what we've found through our investigations is a number of parents will help the children get up to that very top. You're right, in one sense, we wouldn't design a slide like that today. The new design that we've got in mind for the new play area is a tunnel slide. What we've got at the moment is a U-shaped slide, and that means you've got a vertical wall on either side, as you go down. And if you're wearing grippy shoes, they can get stuck on the side of the slide. And from what we can determine, that's been the core of the issue.
Right, so you're going down, it's got angles, and you might put your legs out to steady yourself, something like that.
Yeah, that's right. It's because it's quite a long, straight slide for a section, then they designed in a curve to try and slow people down. But in fact, at that point, people are often users who are younger that might not have that developmental level or confidence will tend to put their foot out to try and slow themselves down. And we've now become aware of a number of instances where that foot has now got caught, the child has propelled their way down, and that's where it's resulted in the accident.
Ouch. So you made the decision to dismantle it, but I was pleased to hear you say that there's another one going to take its place.
Yeah, that's right. So this week we're planning to remove the long slide itself. The rest of the structure will stay in place. There'll still be a short slide and fireman's pole for users to enjoy. What we're planning for at this stage from January of next year is a brand new play area that'll run through hopefully a tentative date of August for the completion. Of course, with supply issues being what they are, that's a work in progress. So essentially the current structure in January then will be completely dismantled, and we're essentially building a brand new replication of the same lighthouse structure, but the slides themselves will be different. As I say, it'll be a tunnel slide. Because of the curvature, it's less likely to get a foot caught. Also, partway down the slide, it goes into a twist or corkscrew. And again, that's designed to reduce the speed of the user. So we're fairly confident that with the new structure, we won't have replications of these types of accidents.
Do you go head first or feet first?
Feet first would be the recommendation.
How do you stop kids from going head first?
Well, you can't. I mean, that's the reality. We can't have staff on the ground all the time. What we've found from this issue is that we've taken a precautionary approach to try and increase signage, have pictograms, so the kids who aren't at an age where they can read the signs can see the pictures. That's what we did after the first incident, because at that point in time, from what we could work out on our records, there hadn't been similar reports that had come through to our risk management system. And then we had a wind of a second incident reported through to us. So at that point, we looked at the common factors. And essentially, that was users using the grippy shoes in spite of the signage advising against it. And so at that point, we thought, well, we'll put in an age advisory. We don't usually do that with our equipment, but the common factors here were that there were two young users under the age of five. And so we'd put out caution signs advising it was a long, fast slide and not suitable for children under the age of six. Now, in spite of that, unfortunately, we then had a third incident, and it was at that point we realised that we didn't want to continue with that level of risk. We can't have staff on the ground all the time. People aren't always going to be mindful of the advisory signage on site. And so that's why we've decided to deconstruct the long slide.
So, Matt, given you are the play spaces specialist, with Level 2 in Wellington tomorrow, all playgrounds are open?
Yes, we're working through those details at the moment. That was the case last time. We would expect that to be somewhat similar this time, but we are just sort of mindful of the fact that the government's asking for more of a 2.5 approach, so we are working through those details at the moment.
So what for people who've got their kids tomorrow, how will they find out whether the playground is opened or not open?
We've put out signage on all our play spaces. That was 117. We will be bringing down those signage when it's appropriate to do so. We'll also use our various platforms to advise people, including media releases, as to what people can and can't do at Level 2.
That's great. Overnight tonight, do you mean?
Yes, it's a work in progress. It should be coming out shortly.
Well, thank you very much, Matt. And just from your own childhood, what was the best slide you ever went on?
Probably Shoreland Park in Island Bay. It's a long straight slide. It's a much loved item when we went through a fairly prolonged consultation process for the upgrade at Shoreland Park. It was the one thing that came very clear through all the submitters. Whatever you do, keep the slide.
Yeah. They have fond memories for a lot of children, don't they, slides?
Yes, well, that's right. I mean, in this case, we've got one of our external playground auditors to have a look at that slide. They also did look at the Frankett slide. They're both still compliant, but we're just building a new tower structure down at Shoreland Park. So we'll get the best of both worlds.
Thanks very much, Matt.
Excellent. No problems. Thank you, Karen.
That's Matthew Berris, the Wellington City Council Play Spaces Specialist. That's a very bad slide, Raybon. It's worthy of a Roald Dahl story, isn't it?
I don't think the slide is evil. They did have rules, and I guess maybe it's a thing where parents have just been thinking that their kids are more capable than they actually are and wanting them to, or just, you know, unable to say no when their kid really demands it. But just quickly, there's apparently a documentary on Netflix about a theme park in America, which was called Action Park, and the documentary is called Class Action Park, and this theme park was just a disaster, run by a guy who really didn't know anything about theme parks, and mayhem is what happened to all the people who went there, and they kind of went there to relish in that level of risk.
Nuanthi, what was your favourite thing in the playground?
Mine was actually the swing, just the swing. that was my favourite, really. I felt like I was flying. It was really fun growing up. But what I will say, though, is this whole thing's just made me think about lots of the playgrounds across Aotearoa and just thinking about health and safety, but also the, you know, sometimes the rubber matting, the flooring in some of these playgrounds, where some of these slides are as well, are just as slippery and quite dangerous. And there's a part of me that's thinking, are we going to go and do an audit now, a safety audit across all playgrounds and slides across the country? And what does that look like? How does maintenance look like? What do those structures look like? Because clearly this was a very old slide. And just to think of the impact it's had over the years. So, yeah.
Some of the impact would have been great, though. It would have had some high times on that slide.
It's some very high times, yes, indeed. With or without parental guidance, clearly.
Peter texts to say, you should not wear shoes, which is standard common sense. Everyone should know that. I guess that's hard for a little person to realise that. Their parents have to be saying, take your shoes off. Did you know that, Raybon? Don't wear shoes on the slide?
I don't know. I think there's also a hassle factor involved if you have to remove your shoes to do something.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm glad that they're going to keep the structure, the lighthouse structure that leads up to the slide. They're just going to change the downward bit.
I tell you, actually, yeah. Going back to what you were saying about it being a Roald Dahl story, Karen, what would make it a Roald Dahl story is if that expert, Matthew, if he was evil.
We have to leave that for another day, Raybon. That's another Roald Dahl story. My thanks to panellist Raybon Khan. Thank you, Raybon. And thank you, Nuanthi Samarakone. Thank you both.
Thank you, Karen.
We're coming up to Checkpoint with Lisa Owen. And thank you. Good afternoon. Mm-hmm.